If you will, in your Bibles, to Acts chapter 11. We're going to talk about the church alive this morning. The church alive. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard in the message and song and the testimony. And Heavenly Father, we realize now as we read the word, if your Holy Spirit doesn't quicken it to our heart and open up our hearts, it'll just be another message, another words. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, this morning the Holy Spirit will open up their heart that they might receive you as Lord and Savior in their life. And we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. What would it mean to be a church that is alive? I believe this church, this group of people here in Antioch, were really a church that is alive. Its members were generous in their giving. Its members were victorious over prejudice. Prejudice was a great thing even in those days. Its members reflected the Spirit of Christ wherever they went. Not just here on Sunday morning, but wherever they went. And it was here that the Holy Spirit led Paul and Silas, and foreign missions was born. Now, I want us to look at what it means to be a church that is alive. The marks of a Christian believer. If you're here this morning and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that you know that you know that you're saved. That you're going to heaven when you die. There's no worry there. You ought to have these marks in your life. Just as this church gave off a fragrance of Christ as they went about their daily lives, you and I ought to give off that fragrance. I talked about Wednesday night. A man said, if you Christians would wear tags upon you, then I would know when I could cuss and when I couldn't cuss. We shouldn't have to wear tags. Our lives should reflect the Lord and Savior whom we love, whom has moved into our life. You see, the first mark of these people's lives is they honored the Savior. They met and worshiped God. He was the object of their worship in their everyday life, everywhere they went, not just here on church. I tell you what, I could almost float to glory when they were singing here. Oh, that was, you know, if I hadn't been saved, I'd have got saved. Almost got saved again. It was just glorious when they sing. And, you know, God is in this place. And something that disturbs me, that in America today, we see statues today. We see statues of Muhammad and Buddha and Jesus. And what disturbs me is today they put Jesus on the same level as Muhammad, Buddha, and a lot of others. And folks, Jesus Christ is not the same. You see, he assumed the right to forgive sins. He died upon the cross of Calvary. He came from heaven, born of a virgin, and died for you and I. He lived a sinless life that we might live also. None of these others did that. Jesus Christ, there's no comparison to Jesus, to all these others whatsoever. They might be admired by different religions, but he is to be worshipped. He's to be bowed down to. They bring a lot of beliefs, but Jesus Christ speaks the truth. He brings the truth in the Word of God. They give a speculation about different things in life, but Jesus Christ brought us revelation about our lives and about the world. They speak the words of man, but He speaks the living Word of God. There is nothing the same about Jesus and all these others. All these holy beliefs about Jesus Christ has brought about a reproach in our lives. You heard Zach say sometimes they would have to be kicked out of the country, or they have to watch what they do. But you know what? Under the persecution of the early church, it moved forward until it reached literally the world. They did not lower their standards whatsoever. And we shouldn't lower our standards. I must preach Jesus Christ. I can't help but tell about Jesus Christ. His words are true. His words are everlasting. His words bring life. These were men, and these were the marks of the early church. A church that is alive today must worship God. They must lift up the Word of God. They must honor Christ daily in their life. In their everyday lives, there was a difference. The people saw. Now, they called them Christians just to mock them. But they knew that these people were followers of Jesus Christ. In their everyday life, they were different. They did not go out of here at 12 o'clock noon and go home and leave Christ in the church. No, they went out into the highways. They went out into the hedges. Wherever they went, they lived a life that was pleasing to God. Every single moment, every single breath, in their schools, in their businesses, in their marketplaces, they preached Jesus Christ. And the people knew that these people had been with Christ. I wonder here this morning, we go out into the world this evening as we go out from here, we go into the restaurants, we go into the businesses. Will people know that we have been with God? Not by our suits or ties, but by our lives. Will they know by the way you talk, by the way you are helpful, or the life you live? Will they know that you have a loving, living Lord? You see, there's something different about their lives. Not only that, they honor Christ daily. The Bible tells us that they hated sin. Antioch was in the heart of heathenism. Heathenism was all around. On every side was immoralities of and perversions of life. But here is this little band. Now, Antioch was a big city, but that reminded me of little churches starting, little groups of people meeting in marketplaces or wherever they might meet. Here was this little band of Christians who had fought against sin, had turned from sin, and in fact, they hated sin. They didn't justify it by calling it something different. They didn't make excuses for sin. They didn't change the labels of sin. They didn't enjoy sin. They hated sin and fought it tooth and toenail. They were standing against sin. They honored God in their worship, and they hated sin. I wonder, do we hate sin? Let me tell you, you say, well, yeah, preacher, I don't like sin. Yes, I know you don't. But do you laugh when somebody tells a dirty joke? It ought to make your blood curl, shouldn't it? Listen, folks, the world looks at us today and they see us no different from anyone else. That's the reason they said you ought to put a label on so we know you are a Christian. We shouldn't have to wear labels. Our lives should show Christ and reflect the fragrance of Christ. We should hate sin with all our heart, just like God. He does not like sin. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about we should hate sinners. There's no such thing as we shouldn't hate sinners. We should love sinners. We should love all people. We should treat people the way God wanted us to treat them, with respect but we should hate the sin. You see, there's a difference. We are to love people, and we are to accept people. If they want to turn to Jesus Christ, then we should be able to lead them that way. And we should pray for people. They honored Christ daily in their life. They hated sin, and they hungered. They hungered for sanctification. Sanctification means set apart. In a city filled with the carnal appetites of most people, they prayed and fasted. They loved the Lord. Let me tell you something. You say, well, we don't live in a... We do too. We live in a world. We live in a city. We live in a country today that is immoral. Our cities are filled with violence. Our cities are filled with carnal appetites. And folks, let me tell you something. We ought to pray for our city. We ought to pray for our city leaders. We ought to pray for our churches in our cities to be strong churches. We ought to have a hunger in our life for the righteousness of Christ to move about our city. We ought to pray for our usefulness so that we can be used of God in a mighty way to bring a revival in our church, in our lives, and in our city. You see, the world cannot satisfy a heart for God. I'm not satisfied living in the world, you see. We ought not be that way. We ought to look for the things of God. We ought to walk our daily lives looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I can say with John, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Let me tell you something, folks. We ought to live for God, sanctified, separated from the world, a life of holiness. Add all of these things up, and I believe you got a church that's alive. They honored God, they hated sin, and they hungered for a separation in their lives. You see, a man of the world doesn't like those things. They like the things of the flesh. They live for the world. But a person who loves Christ has the mark of a Christian upon him. He loves the Savior. He honors him. He hates the sin. And he loves holiness. Now that's the mark of a church that's alive. And as followers of Christ, they walked the streets of Antioch. And they carried with them that fragrance of Christ. It just moved about them like flowers in the spring. I grew up in the country. I loved to go out with a bunch of honeysuckle. Y'all know what honeysuckle is? Honeysuckle smells so good. It puts off a beautiful fragrance. I love to go along the honeysuckle vines and smell that beautiful fragrance. I love the roses and the fragrance they put off. Well, our lives should be like that. Like the honeysuckle vine, a fragrance of Christ carried everywhere we go. And to the highways and the hedges, so where that when people saw them, they said, you know what? Those people are followers of Christ. Let's call them Christians. The marks of a church that's alive. And then not only that, they had the mark of a church that's alive, they had a mission of a Christian. This church had not only been reached by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, it also gave faithfully to the mission of reaching out to others. They began to move out there in that church and start little bands of Christian living everywhere they went. Jesus came, they said, to die. In Matthew 20, 28, he said he came for a ransom for many. He didn't come for a ransom for one. He didn't come for a ransom for one nation. He came for a ransom for many. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, all, whosoever, that's everyone, isn't it? Whosoever will. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I can be saved this morning. Well, you can unless God moves into your heart. But let me tell you something. He loves you. He died for you. And he said if you would ask him to come into your life, he would save you. I believe that with all my heart. There's nothing you've done in your life that God can't forgive. He wants to forgive you this morning. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to have the fragrance of Christ upon your life. He said, I came to die as a ransom for many. When Jesus Christ, the Bible says, went to the cross, he conquered death. He conquered grave. He conquered sin. He broke the old bonds of sin. He broke that power of sin. He turned the cold hearts into hearts of repentance. In other words, they turned from sin and turned to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, other sheep do I have that you don't know about? Oh, listen to me. I believe Jesus Christ saw the church. I believe he looked down through the ages and saw First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. I believe he looked down through the ages and saw Brother Zach here. I believe he looked down through the ages and saw the ministers that we've sent out from this church. I think we've sent out about 9 so far. I believe with all my heart, God looks down through the century and he says, listen, other sheep I have that you don't even know about. The company of believers in every age, every tribe, every nation under heaven, I believe Christ knew. And he said, other sheep do I have. And I believe he saw his servants, not only Paul, the 12 disciples, but I believe he saw his servants, the missionaries that we have today. Joe Marr was here a couple of Wednesday nights back. I believe he saw the ones that we support in Mexico. I believe he saw the ones we support in Haiti. I believe he saw the ones we support in Africa. Philippines. I believe Jesus saw his servants coming from all across the oceans, climbing the mountains high, sailing the seas through hardships, through troubles, to tell the world, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And folks, I believe he saw Gun Barrel City a long time before we ever knew it would be a church, because God knows all things. And I believe he saw an old boy down in Recklaw, Texas, that needed a church, that wanted to preach the gospel. He may not have been the best thing in the world, but Jesus said, if you'll preach, I will use you. And friends, listen, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Listen, I must preach him to all the world. This is the heartbeat of world missions. This is the message that we have. We have a wonderful Savior. We must tell the message of our Lord and Savior. And I believe this morning it doesn't stop right here. All down the ages, God is looking for men. Over in the Bible in the Old Testament, I was looking at it the other day. God says, I am looking for a man. That could be a woman or a man or a boy or a girl to stand in the gap. Folks, listen. We need some people right here in this city to stand in the gap for God. The success and the power of these early missionaries can be explained in the terms of only what they were before God. You will have no power in your life unless it comes from God. He is our source. He is our strength. He is our life. Are you giving your life to God? Are you living the way God wants you? Let me tell you something. Everybody has problems. Everybody has troubles. We can blame it on the world, or we can blame it on God, or we can blame it on ourselves. But let me tell you something. Problems should not keep you from God. Problems ought to drive you to God. Amen? If you're here today and you're lost, or you're here today and you got a problem, you came to the right place. God wants to do business with you. But let me tell you something. You can sit where you are and you can contemplate it and talk about it and let the devil talk you out of it, because he doesn't love you. He doesn't like you. He wants you to continue on doing the same old thing that you're doing, and one day you'll die and go to the devil's hell, and he will be laughing at you all the way. Or you can come to Christ today, give your life to Jesus Christ, give your heart to him, start serving him, and by making that decision today to turn your life around, it's nothing you doing, it's all God. Because God has to move through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to convict you right now that you're lost and you need to come to him. Then you can spend an eternity in heaven. Eternity with Christ. There's either two places, heaven or hell. There's no in between. I don't care what people say. There's no second chance. You see, this is after you die, it is over, friends. You know, somebody pictured a man hanging by a thread over a fire, and that thread is getting awful thin. That's man. God comes along and he says, I want to rescue you. I want to take you out from over that fire. Oh, at any minute you say, oh, I got plenty of time. Let me tell you something. I have buried in my last 3 weeks young people. Young people. And I saved a 10-year-old boy that died. My nephew died. I thank God that he was saved. Or he had spent eternity in hell today. You see, it doesn't matter who you are, what age. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, you need to come to him. For you never know when that thread will break. That heartbeat will stop. It could happen any moment. I believe God wants First Baptist Church in this community to stand up for him. It must be done. You see, it's on the anvils of hardship and persecution that our lives are shaped. You see, it's on the altar where he receives the lives of his martyrs. Oh, let me tell you something. Christian life is not an easy life. Somebody said, all y'all Christians are soft, you're pansies. Let me tell you something. You just hadn't tried to live it yet. You know what? I can't live the Christian life. It's only Christ who lives through me. Every morning I have to pray. Every morning, every evening, every moment has to be Christ. Paul and Barnabas, Charles Spurgeon said they had, these two guys were marked by three traits. They were earnest. They were earnest. Their lives were lives that were passionate for other people. They were faithful. Their motto was, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And their life was a man of self-denial. They were willing to cross any ocean. They were willing to fight any malaria. They fought shipwrecks, toils, and beatings, and stonings, and all of this for the cause of Jesus Christ. Missions at home and abroad need those people called Christians who are willing to pay the price to serve and share Jesus Christ. Those are the marks of a Christian. They honor God with their life. And then the message. Man, we have the mission and the message. Not only do we have the right kind of, need to be the right kind of men, we have the right kind of message. We must preach Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's not a message of my own. It's the words of Jesus Christ. You see, if you do not believe the Bible, then you're going to have a hard time. I believe it from the front to the back. Amen. I don't cut it apart. I don't say this wasn't referring, is not to today. Everything in the Bible, from in the beginning to the end of Revelation, it's God's word. It's all about Jesus. It was him who died. And it's how men can turn from sin to salvation. It is a message that we can experience all our own. I came to Jesus Christ when I was around 21. I went to church all my life. Someone said this morning, I believe it was Perry, said, you know, I'm not religious. Religion didn't get me saved. I went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night. I was sick of church. I went so much. But it was only till I was 21 when I quit going and trying to be religious and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And let me tell you something, I go every Sunday morning, I go every Sunday night, and I go every Wednesday night and then nights in between many times. And I've never been sick of it. You see, religion, you get tired of that. But when you find Christ, Christianity, you never get tired of Jesus Christ. He is the one true love of our life, you see. It's a message that we can experience. Paul said, I have been changed. I've been changed. He's a servant of Christ. We're pilgrims traveling through this world. He's the bread of life, and by grace alone, we can receive him as our Lord and Savior this morning, if you will. It's a powerful message. It's a powerful gospel. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I believe this world is starving to death for some authentic voices crying in the wilderness, like Brother Bill talked about John the Baptist this morning. Man, there was no beating around the bush. People knew where he stood. He said, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, they want people who really believe what they preach. I believe people out there really would love the gospel. I believe they want to see people who are genuine about it, not a bunch of phonies. You see, people want to know somebody that don't doubt about their salvation. Somebody asked me one time, do you think you're saved, preacher? I said, no, I don't think it. I know it. There's been a change in my life. People don't want to put their trust into something that, well, we got doubts about it. No, they want to know that you're saved. You see, if they ask you if you're saved, and you say, well, you know, sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. Man, I've got that already, they say. Well, I don't need that. But if you say, no, let me tell you something. I know that I'm saved. God made a difference in my life. I'm going to stand firm upon the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and the cross is the way to God. I must come to Jesus. The way of the cross leads home this morning. The right men and the right message. This is how the early church was a church that was alive. Its ministry was revealed to the whole earth by these early Christians. They revealed Christ. You know, when Christ reveals himself to us, then if we trust him, he recreates us, don't he? We're born again. I love that word. Some people get hung up on being born again, you know, but I like it because that's exactly what Christ did in my life. He took this old person that I was and he killed it. I died to myself and I was born again, new life in Christ. He took off the old and put on the new. Spurgeon said Paul was the kind of man who could go before a pulpit, or go from pulpit to coffin, and stand before God ready to give an account. Let me tell you something. Are you that type of person this morning? If you died today, which you could, and you stood before God to give an account of your life, what would you say? God, I just came from First Baptist Church Gun Barrel. I was down there in your church. Matter of fact, he was preaching, and I was thinking about trusting you. He'd say, it's too late. You don't have to wait till I finish this message to ask Christ to come into your heart. You can do that right now. Don't let Satan win the victory. Just say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, and I want you to come into my life. And then as soon as I give the invitation, you step out and you come, and you make that public. You're nailing the nail down. This morning, I trusted Christ. I want you to know, as a church, that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I've been born again. We need men and women with the eyes and the hearts of Jesus Christ to weep over all the lost in our community and in our world. Would you come this morning? If you're saved and you know it, well, praise God. Live it. Let that fragrance go out from you as you leave this place today. Don't be the same as the world. Be different. Let them know that, hey, there goes a Christian. I can tell by the way he smiles. I can tell by the way he lives. I can tell by the life. Maybe you're here this morning and God has led you to this church and you're not a member, but you want to be. Why don't you come down? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join in with this fellowship. No big deal. Just come and I'll tell you how. But if you're lost this morning, you're lost. You're not saved. You need to come right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mission. We thank you for the marks of Christ upon our life. And Lord, we thank you for the message that we have. Lord, let us preach Jesus till you come. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.